This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. I've had several emails the last few weeks with people asking questions about how accurate the new Hulu miniseries Under the Banner of Heaven happens to be. It's based on a book of the same name by a writer named Jon Krakauer. Many consider him to be a writer of nonfiction. I personally think that much of what he writes is fiction. As you can tell, I'm not a huge fan, and I'm going to go into a little bit of detail why. I don't have enough time to go into Jon Krakauer's entire history, but I can say that my opinion of him is that he writes books throwing people under the bus who don't deserve it because he thinks it will make a better story. And in Under the Banner of Heaven, that is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And in his earlier book, Into Thin Air, which I'm going to tell you about now, that happens to be the mountain guide of the other climbing team that was going up Mount Everest, that was sort of a competing team with the group that Krakauer was part of. What happened in this Everest climb was that there were two groups that were hoping to get to the summit. And Krakauer writes about it later, and he criticizes the leader of the other climbing group, a guy who was Russian by heritage, who, by all accounts, was a real hero. His name was Anatoly Bokarev. And what happened was that when this storm came and caught all of these climbers on Mount Everest, Bokarev went up and back down several times to help a number of his clients back down. Now, interestingly enough, Anatoly Bokarev, who is criticized by Jon Krakauer, didn't lose a single climber. Several of them had frostbite and some other injuries, but none of them were lost. Yet in that same storm, the group that Krakauer was part of lost eight climbers. Eight climbers lost their lives that day on Everest. But who gets thrown under the bus by Krakauer? Well, it's the guy who saved all his clients. It's just a rather bizarre twist and take on what happened that day. And that's, in my opinion, the way Krakauer's approach to writing is. It made a better story to point the finger at the other group. So apparently he did in his book. There were so many people who were unhappy with how Krakauer wrote this that there was a back and forth with a number of other people who were, well known in climbing circles. And, well, I'll give you one example. There's a writer by the name of Galen Roll who wrote for the American Alpine Journal. And he sends this correspondence to Krakauer where he says, quote, "The fact is that every one of Bokarev's clients survived without major injuries, while the clients who died or received major injuries were members of your party. Could you explain how Anatoly Bokarev's shortcomings as a guide led to the survival of his clients?" Close quote. Valid point. And there was an article in the Wall Street Journal where this same writer, Galen Rowell, cited a number of other inconsistencies in Krakauer's narrative, observing that Krakauer was sleeping in his tent while Bokarev was out rescuing other climbers. So they go back and forth and back and forth. This isn't just me who was going after Krakauer and his problems as a journalist. I should also mention that as we move on to Under the Banner of Heaven, we have the same kinds of problems with methodology. One of the greatest ones is that Ron and Dan Lafferty are portrayed as Mormons. They were not. They were kicked out of the church before they ever committed their murders. Calling them Latter-day Saints is a little bit like calling Charles Manson a Catholic because he went to a Catholic reform school for a while. That would be unfair to the Catholics and also to Charles Manson because he didn't like that reform school. And Ron and Dan Lafferty did not like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They were not followers of it. They were tossed out of it, and they formed their own religion. And yet, in Under the Banner of Heaven, we are told that it was the LDS faith that drove their points of view and their actions. Robert Millett, who's a professor of religious studies at Brigham Young University, had this to say about some of the things that he found in Under the Banner of Heaven. He thought that the descriptions that were in it were, quote, "This book is not history, and Krakauer is no historian. He's a storyteller who cuts corners to make the story sound good. His basic thesis appears to be that people who are religious are irrational, and that irrational people do strange things," close quote. So what happens in response? Krakauer cites excommunicated Mormon historian Michael Quinn. That's the kind of things that we find from Krakauer. So let's take a look at who the Laffertys really were and what their ties were to the LDS Church, which were non-existent at the time they committed their murders. What happened was both Ron and Dan Lafferty grew up in Payson, Utah, in quite a difficult home. Their father was very strict, became very angry, and was quite an authoritarian. And apparently, according to one account, killed the family dog, beat it to death in front of the children. A very difficult man. That's the kind of a household they grew up in. Not that it is some kind of an excuse for what they did, but it is part of an explanation for why, for them, perhaps violence was a way to handle conflicts and difficulties and things that they didn't like. So here's the timeline after they became adults. In 1982, Dan Lafferty was excommunicated and kicked out of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for trying to take his 14-year-old stepdaughter as a second wife. That would be a big no-no for a lot of reasons. Family was not happy with that. The church was not happy with it. He was excommunicated. The next year, Ron Lafferty, his brother, was also excommunicated from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for apostasy because he had extreme religious views that were inconsistent with the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And then the very next year, this is still before the murders, they formed their own religion, which they call the School of the Prophets, and they claim to be receiving their own separate and distinct revelations, one of which I will describe to you, although I won't take time to read it, because it is so strange and bizarre and internally inconsistent. No one could actually believe that it was real. At any rate, time for a break. We'll be right back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. We're talking about Under the Banner of Heaven, John Krakauer's miniseries on Hulu and the problems with it. Stay tuned.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Today we're talking about the Hulu miniseries Under the Banner of Heaven, based on John Krakauer's book of the same name, which erroneously and falsely leaves the impression that Ron and Dan Lafferty were Mormons, as they're described many times in the film, and were acting based on their teachings as children, as youngsters in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And nothing could be further from the truth. As I mentioned during our last segment, that would be a little bit like claiming that somehow Charles Manson is a Catholic and the Catholic Church is responsible for his actions, which would be a horrible slander of the Catholic faith and also of Manson, because he didn't think he was acting based on what the Church, the Catholic faith, had done to influence him. So, all right, the School of the Prophets is this new sect which Ron and Dan have formed. They think they're receiving messages from God. And then they, in March of 84, receive this revelation. It's called a removal revelation. And Ron writes it down, and he says that he believes God is telling him to kill Brenda Lafferty, his sister-in-law, and her daughter, 15-month-old Erica, and two others, Chloe Lowe and Richard Stowe. And the reason why this was done, I've read this supposed revelation several times in long time ago and more recently, and the gist of it is because somehow these four are impeding God's progress here on earth. Now, how bizarre is that, that a 15-month-old child could somehow be impeding God's progress? That shows how illogical and crazy Ron and Dan Lafferty were. So, on Pioneer Day, July 24th of 1984, Ron and Dan and two drifters who they had become briefly acquainted with, a guy named Charles Carnes and Richard Knapp, who were hitchhiking around, became acquainted with the Laffertys and decided to join them at least peripherally in their actions. So they drive over to Brenda Lafferty's home, and they go in, strangle her with a vacuum cord, and cut her throat with a knife. And then they go in and talk to 15-month-old Erica, and then they practically cut her head off with the same knife. Horrible guys. Horrible, horrible. Then they go over to try to kill the other two victims who were supposedly mentioned by God as two who should be removed from out of the way so that God's progress can continue. But they can't find them, which also kind of shows you that the revelations weren't real, among 100 other reasons. So they just leave with these two drifters and take off for Reno, Nevada. And then a little less than a month later, what happens is that FBI agents find them, track them down in Reno, and arrest them while they're in a buffet line. In December of that same year, you can see that things move a little quicker in the legal system back in the 80s than they do now. What happens is that in December of 1984, I think it was close to the very last day of December, Ron Lafferty attempted suicide and was found unconscious in his Utah County jail. His attorney says that Lafferty's suicide attempts damaged his brain, and so he can't stand trial because he's not competent. The judge then grants a motion for Dan and for Ron to be tried separately. And in 1985, Ron is tried for murder, convicted, sentenced to die. Dan is sentenced to life in prison. There's a holdout in the jurors who spares him the death sentence. In 1991, so 6 years later, a federal appeals court overturned Ron Lafferty's convictions, stating that the wrong standard was used. Basically, he wasn't competent to stand trial. In 96, Ron Lafferty's conviction was overturned on appeal. He went back to trial. A jury again convicted him and sentenced him to death. Ron Lafferty chose to be executed by firing squad, and the Supreme Court of Utah and the U.S. Supreme Court did not grant any further appeals. So what happened is that at that point in time, in 2001, both of these Lafferty brothers are in prison, and one is going to die by the firing squad, and the other one is going to spend life in prison. And then Krakauer apparently gets this great idea to go interview them, and he does. He goes out and talks to them over and over and over again, and writes in 2003 his book Under the Banner of Heaven. He claims it's a nonfiction book and that it's the true account of murders. In his book, he ties in this bizarre notion, which is also not true, that somehow in the early days of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that anyone who went through the temple took an oath of vengeance, which was to avenge the death of Joseph Smith and Hiram Smith upon the government and people of the United States, which is also just plain not true. There are transcripts of the temple endowment as it took place back in the 1800s, clear through the present. And I have read them, and I will not read them aloud in public, but I will tell you that not in any of them was there an oath of vengeance. What happened, and the reason that this idea came out, is because some people who had left the church claimed that there was such a statement in it, and the LDS church would not send anyone into court to explain what the actual wording of the endowment was. They took it so seriously that it was to be held in sacred trust, that they would not defend the church by using the exact wording in court. That has led to this tragic statement that there was an oath of vengeance, which there absolutely was not. There are a number of historical inaccuracies in Krakauer's book, and the idea that some of those purported facts somehow influenced Ron and Dan Lafferty are just laughable. One of the other inaccuracies in the book is the idea that the massacre at Mountain Meadows was ordered by Brigham Young, which is also historically inaccurate. In short, what you find in Krakauer's book and in the Hulu miniseries Under the Banner of Heaven are far, far from the truth. And both the book and the miniseries are done mostly for sensationalism and to smear and slander the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints rather than try for accuracy. Because after all, if you have a couple of crazy murderous brothers, that doesn't make as good of a story as if they were somehow directed and guided to do what they did by a church, which is not true. Well, Dan Lafferty remains in the Utah State Prison serving a life sentence, and his brother Ron died in prison on November 11th of 2019. And as far as I'm concerned, good riddance to both of them. They're right where they should be, one before God and the other one forever in prison until he also meets his maker. Don't be fooled by Under the Banner of Heaven. Krakauer's book is, in my opinion, as much fiction as it is fact, both in innuendo and also contents. If you have questions or comments about this show, feel free to be in touch. Send me an email to martinstanner@gmail.com.